Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we've got one of the baddest dudes in the fight game, Tyron Woodley, on the show. He's a guy that has evolved from his beginning as a wrestler coming out of the University of Missouri to a masterful mixed martial artist. And as Tyron sees it, it is an art form and the octagon is his canvas. This is something we can all relate to. Work on your skills and show the world what you've got when it's time to compete. For Gil, the mindset of a fighter is fascinating. Think about it. What is inside you that makes you welcome punishment and pain and combat? And what does that moment of success feel like when you get the best of your opponent? You don't have to put on the wraps to be a fighter. It's all about that dog mentality that we always talk about. It's about how you respond when your back is against the wall and all eyes are on you to strike back. It's the No Chill Podcast, Fight Game Edition with Tyron Woodley. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to get every episode as soon as they drop. Don't forget to check out the No Chill channel on YouTube. And don't forget, every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, it's No Chill with Gilbert Arenas on the Fubo Sports Network. Welcome to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. Right over there, Gilbert Arenas. Your camera's right there.
Oh, you know, I just be, you know, like...
Oh, it's like the cameras aren't even there?
Yeah, you be changing the shit up.
And I just cameras.
Be... Yeah, yeah. We all want to look good for the camera. Here's a guy that looks good for the camera. I don't look at that.
I know, all teed up, man.
Right?
How you line up? What's up, my man?
How you doing? How you doing, sir? Got that Kobe Kai.
Hey, my dog. I got a shout out to my dog, Lynn Oding.
Binge watch that if you haven't seen it.
I do.
So this is new for us. We brought a fighter in. And we can't mix words. We talk a lot, put some things out there. No, not today. And I was even thinking when we came in here, I think the coolest thing about being a fighter is when you walk in. You walk in.
Oh, yeah.
This is all eyes on you. You come on the court, you got your teammates there.
Yeah, true.
So I got to walk in too, though.
Not like that. There's no
you gotta try to separate your walk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like let them bums go first and then you be at the back.
Yeah, like, a little crazy handshake. Yeah, yeah. Like you got three or four different ones.
But you don't see if like, you got the handshakes and guys come in, they John Wall did the Dougie.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fighter, man. You're setting the tone right from the gate.
I mean, for me, it's like you can't get out of it now. You gotta do it. Like you about to walk in there.
Yeah.
If you want to get out of it, like you can't make no excuse. You can't like, oh no, I can't do this no more. So it's like it's when you think about like the walkout, it's not just like the music banging, it's not just the fans going crazy. Now it's no fans, it's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. It's like really you processing them. Did I do enough? I train hard, I'm ready to go. Look at him, he already in there. He wanna fight, or he looks scared, oh, I'm finna get this over with.
Yeah.
There's so much going through your mind. And what we listening to in our headphones a lot of times is different than what we playing on the outside. Some people overly acting like they just have fun and dance. They scared as a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
There's a lot. It's a mental warfare game. So it's a lot of people that want to seem like they really are just, oh, this ain't nothing, this is nothing. Meanwhile, inside, they body 89 beats a second.
Yeah. Well, that's it. When you step into the octagon, it gets real. Like the weigh-in,
it's real for me before then, though. It's real for me at the weigh-in.
At the weigh-in? I always looked at that as like, that's the entertainment part.
Yeah, that's the hype.
Not for me. For some fighters, it is, but like, I want to know what kind of fight I'm in for tomorrow. I've never been wrong. Every time I look at somebody in their eyes, I can tell exactly what kind of fight I'm in for the next day.
In the weigh-in?
Yeah.
That's cool if you think about it. Like, start, set the tone.
No, every time I see the weigh-in, I'm like, okay, that's stage. You just got smacking.
How do you
each
usually
other
tell when somebody lying? Their eyes.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So when you're in somebody's face and you all close, if they nervous or they trying to be too over the top or they just kind of like serial killer stoic.
Yeah.
Crazy. We finna go at it tomorrow.
What if they try to clown you?
Well, it's automatically done.
Because that strategy is different, too, because...
Well, you're not about to clown me, too, when you try.
Yeah.
It's a whole different fight I'm fighting now.
Like, so the weigh-in, like... Like, it's... like that is part of?
For me, it is. Every fighter is not. Some guys come out with pizzas and, you know, little designs and painted. Whatever they want to do is kind of like your motto, like who you are. For me, it's like, one, I'm always shorter than everybody I fight, always. So I want you to see that you may be taller than me, you may be bigger than me, but I'm going to try to come and beat you up. And I want them to know that. So okay. When I come in the face, I'm like literally walking towards them and I'm trying to get in their face and I'm trying to let them know we fighting tomorrow.
We fighting tomorrow.
Tomorrow we not, there's no shucking it. Tomorrow we fighting. Sometimes it's like, I'm like, kind of feel like that too. And then fight me look like that.
So. And the crazy thing about MMA to me is there's no other sport that you learn a sport and then you got to learn other stuff. So you came up as a wrestler.
Yeah.
So you go to college, Missouri, and that's what you did. And yeah, then to get into this
I wrestled at the University of Missouri. I was an All-American there. And I just always knew I was the best in the country. I knew I was the best, especially my last year. Nobody was better than me. And I never won NCAAs. And it was so... Mm-hmm. It was like this one tournament because we won't get all year. I turned up all year. But if, like, certain sports like football, McDonald's All-American, right? Because for me, you did all year long.
Yeah.
Us is one tournament. So if you place in the top eight in that tournament, you're All-American. If you win it, you're the NCAA champion. You could have been 500 the whole season. Then all of a sudden, you turned up at the very end. Now you're a national champion. I've seen it happen before. Something about that tournament, I just never did well. I placed a couple times. I went third three or four times, but I never like really had my best matches, and I was like, I was just mad, and I was like, I want to punch somebody.
Is it more? Do you think it was more mental?
It's always been mental with me.
Yeah.
With me, it's never been like I've always felt like I had a little extra, a little raw in me, but I never had to have been pushed to work hard. I always work hard. I always had a good work ethic. I always wanted it. I never needed my coaches. They never like motivate me, like, oh, do this or this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't coach me that way because I've been gangbanging and shot at and ran like 15 people chase you to run. I'm not scared of a wrestling match or a fight. So you don't have to try to put fear in my heart to motivate me. Just tell me, lift your hand up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to tell me what he'll do if I don't. Mm-hmm. Just say, lift your hand up. And sometimes athletes aren't open enough to teach their coaches how to coach them. Like, I'm not saying make it easy on me. I'm saying you're doing this because you want me to do something, right? Mm-hmm. This is how you make me do that. So.
That's a good one. I never thought about that one. Teach your coach how to coach you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially, you know, in basketball, you know, that coach has one style. You know, in that one style, you have 15 players. So in reality, you're going to lose half your team because of the style.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One guy might thrive, one guy might not. Then this is like, you know, so you're trying to sit here. How do I motivate 15 people?
And you shouldn't have one style because it's 15 professionals.
A good coach.
But
15 professionals that you got enough personnel and style, you got enough time, you got enough resources to get to know that person individually. And it's not easier because it actually should be harder. Mm-hmm. Because once you open yourself up to somebody and they know you, they also know where you loaf at.
Mm-hmm.
They know where you're, they're holding you accountable. So my coaches know that I didn't like the middle distance runs. Mm-hmm. So now he owned me on those.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a negative way. If you can push, this heavyweight just ran 7 miles in 42 minutes. And he did. Dude, I won the NCAAs, he did. 42 minutes. I was running 44, which is still cooking up Missouri Hills. So then he told me that and I had to go and find him.
Mm-hmm.
I was running. I'm like, maybe I'm too close to him because he can run. But I got next to him and I started running next to him. And I started making that time up because he motivated me in a different way. So it's not easier. You're teaching them, this is what I do well. I don't need you to push me right here. I'm going to shoot my free throws by myself. I don't need, I'm going to do that. That's how I'm built. That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
It's certain things you guys did as athletes that got you there. You don't need the coach to turn you up there. Mm-hmm. He's trying to stretch you and trying to get you to the next dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So now he needs to find, okay, maybe I'm lazy in the paint. Mm-hmm. Maybe I want to play defense after I shoot the three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So now that's why I need that pressure applied because it's all about energy. Why am I putting all this energy into stuff I'm doing right? when I know this shit, I'm not. Everybody want to hit the mitts because it looks so cute. You know, nobody want to hit the bag, the heavy bag, for rounds and rounds when nobody watching.
And you, if you train your coach in basketball, they don't like you. They just put you on the bench.
Yeah. But that's what I said, because you're not used to it. It's never been a concept, you know, that a player trains his coach on how to get the best out of him.
Unless you're a superstar.
No, that's
my gift to you.
Yeah.
So now you do the content. And you do it and you make it make sense, because at the end of the day, it's about putting points on the board.
Yeah.
Do we care the technique? We let Dennis Rodman do it his way, right?
Yeah.
Because he put points on the board.
Don't try to make Dennis Rodman coach him.
Let him go to the Montessori version of basketball, because that's him. That's his art. Mm-hmm. Don't put him into the regimented Michael Jordan, because he wasn't that. You know what I mean? Get the most out of this motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And if you get the most out of every person, you're going to get the most out of your team. You got some organizations that never even thought about winning a playoff game, less known, NBA a championship, maybe we can do it now.
And a good coach recognizes your style, and they'll say, like, you are different from a John Jones style. And what you do, he can't do certain things. And then same thing with basketball is, like, I'm a scorer. Don't rely on me to be your top defender. We got this guy for the team.
Yeah, but as I said, you know, it's usually penalized if they can't. If they can't understand how you play.
You're looking back at all the times.
You can't understand how you play, so I'm not even going to try to learn it. Either you fit into this or move on somewhere else. And we're like, man, if you knew how to talk to him, you can get him better. Like, you know, the players know, because we know what thrives, and because we sitting there jabbing at each other every single day.
Imagine a coach had, because his best event was the 800 meters. Mm-hmm. He forced Usain Bolt to do the 800 meters. Could he do it? Yeah. He's a competitor. He's different. But we all know what he's supposed to do to what?
100.
Right? That's a whole concept. That's a whole bar.
And what's so funny is,
people will try to do that to him.
And he was a 400 and a 200 runner.
Yeah.
And then said, yo, let me try the 100. And his coach was like, I don't know.
We're taught not to ask questions. Yeah. We're the professional athletes, and it's our technical business. We're our own companies.
Yeah, it's your life.
But we frowned upon for asking questions and telling you, my business runs the best this way. You want the business is about efficiency and operating as fast as possible, the most precise input out as possible. If you have me doing powerlifting and I'm a finesse basketball player, you don't see Steph Curry and are doing 300-pound hang cleans, deadlifts, and one-arm snatches with a dumbbell and 45s on that. Why? His three ain't gonna be the same.
Yep, they tried it too.
Wanted a little rougher in the paint, probably, right?
Huh?
They wanted him to score a little bit more.
No, they tried it with KD. They tried it with KD. Said, "Oh, you need to get a little bit bigger." You know, they like even with Ingram, you need to get a little bit bigger. No,
I'm the opposite. They tried it with me the other way.
Man, no,
my muscle had too much mass and cardiovascular sports. You need to be leaner, and you're carrying too much muscle. And I listened to it, and I lost what made me mean. What made me explosive, what made people want to watch me fight, and I had to do my own research. How many rounds did Mike Tyson used to go, Evander Holyfield, all these people that were built that way? Mm-hmm. 12, 15 rounds. Punching almost as hard in the 10th through 12 as they were in the first, right? So why am I going to let somebody, C.T. Fletcher is a strength and conditioning guy, like from Compton, right? Mm-hmm. He got a very unique way of pumping people up. Y'all can look it up for yourself. But he said, you were born with the muscles, so you know how to move with the muscles. Mm-hmm. Don't let a mother bleep tell you how to move with the muscles they ain't never born with. Mm. I ran from people with these muscles.
You
gonna tell me I don't know how to
how train to use my your body?
Yeah, so that's the boy, that's you. When you do that, bring me on.
All right, I got you.
You're gonna teach the coaches how to coach us, because even if you were a player, you're now a coach. Mm-hmm. Your job is to not hoard that power over and be a dictator and be a, you know what I mean, now govern somebody's body. Mm-hmm. Your job is to get this promotion, organization, team, whatever, to the top. And each person, the equalizer's got to be on 10. Mm-hmm. I can't get his equalizer to 10 doing this.
Yep.
Try to train him different. You know what I mean?
And think about that, Gil. If you have a fighter talk to team sport players, and see what they are self-motivated.
I do it all the time.
It's all you.
Yeah.
I talk to team sports all the time. College football teams. I don't know what they want me to say, but I get there.
I was going
to
say, what do they want to hear?
I mean, I just tell them about real life. I've been up, I've been down, I've been at the top. I was two fights away from being the greatest that ever did it. And I'm like, damn, I ain't won a fight since 2018. Mm-hmm. But that, life ain't about that. Life is about learning. And sometimes you got to learn through getting stuff taken from you.
Yeah.
So I just talked to them about life. They say they want to be a big, I went to K-State and team said they wanted to be a Big Ten champion, Big Ten champion, right? And I said, shit, what your actions look like? Are you lining up with what you say you want to be? Because I was a Big 12 champion. I was the first one our school ever had. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever thought Missouri would have a Big 12 champion. We was the bye. Everybody got us, they was happy. Oh, we got Missouri. They got free 6 points, right? So I went out there one and when it wasn't cool, when nobody thought it was possible, but I was disrespected a little bit too, that people thought about us that way.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nah, let me show you that right quick. But I think when you can, 2 or 3, 10 people may relate to that because they may have came from the same area. I came from Ferguson. It's all respect. St. Louis is all respect. If you respect a person, you'll go a long way in St. Louis.
You know, and the thing that people need to recognize is in the fight game, there's a science to it.
Yeah.
And there's art to it. It's not just violence. It's not just rough all the time. Those are things that you add on. And based on where you came from with the wrestling and you got to with the mixed martial arts, you determine your own style.
Yeah.
How do you define your style?
I'm an artist. I ain't a fighter. I fight 2-3 times a year, maybe. And I'm a dad way more than that. I clean. I'm an actual maid more than that. If you think about it. Think about what you do on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. You are that. Mm-hmm. I fight 2 or 3 times a year. So for me, I feel like art form is any way you can express yourself. So if I can express, you know, my like hard work and dedication, because that's all fighting is. I'm expressing through art my ability to put myself through fucking hell for one moment of heaven. Because, dude, he down. Oh, I won. They can't cheat me. They can't say I lost. I can't get clipped with a shot. I can't get caught in an armbar. That one look, that's all we do all the training for. All the cauliflower ear, all of my dumb stuff. All
pain.
The pain, yeah. So at the end of the day, I would say for me, I'm an artist. And I used to let people tell me to separate it. I'm not separating music from executive producing, from doing television, behind the scenes, camera, TV show, movie, big movie, low budget movie. I'm not stopping all the different forms of art because you can't understand that this brush goes on many different canvases.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me, that's what I would say.
Like when it comes to just the style and training, right? You come from wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And you're adapting into this new world. Is it just like starting all over?
I came from the street first, and then to wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be successful in life and what I thought I needed to do, I put that part of my life to rest. And I got rid of it, and I got closer to God, and I buried it. That's why when I say I don't like fighting, people don't get it. I've been in 30 fights outside the octagon.
Mm-hmm.
I fought my whole life. That's how I built my name. People know me from fighting. So I got away from that, wanted to go to college. Wrestling was a way I could have the ability to be physical with somebody but not get in trouble for it, and not have to worry about my safety, my family safety. So in sport, my sport is called mixed martial what? It's art.
Mm-hmm.
It's art. My sport is called that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the one sport that if I go and do a song with Wiz Khalifa, oh, here goes another athlete trying to do music.
Mm-hmm.
Now here goes another artist utilizing this to express himself, whether it's TV, whether it's music, whether it's fighting. So for me, I had to unlock that part and let it out a little bit, but control it. So my last fight, I didn't win the fight, but motherfuckers know that I'm still that guy, and they know I still got it in me, and they thought it was lost. And sometimes you gotta, it's a divine balance that we never find, but we every, you know what I'm talking about. How much do I dedicate to my craft? How much do I dedicate to my leisure time? How much do I dedicate to this girl? How much do I dedicate to my investments? I'm not all my, I don't have my hands in on my accounting stuff. I don't want that. Now I gotta go back and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a divine balance. But sometimes we let people tell us this part of my life is not, I don't need it anymore. I made it beyond that part. But there's been some times in a fight where I needed that motherfucker. to come out.
Yeah.
I mean, the person that would have fought anybody for free, now you're making lots of money to fight, and somebody got to motivate you now? Why? You were doing it so you can walk past the street every day. Now somebody paying you a nice wage to go out there and do it to entertain people, and something got to happen for you to just ignite the beast mode? No, so I had to let it out a little bit. And I let it out a little too much. I got a little too crazy with the swings, but people knew, like, in a weird way, I kind of still won. Because people know that they know I'm still there. They know I'm still, my heartbeat's still going. They know I still got it. And they thought it was dead. And they saw it. And it was like, dang. Now everybody want to meet with me. And everybody want to, what are you doing? What you doing next? And da, 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 da. So I'm like, nah.
You know what it is, that idea of art, right? That masterpiece. Because you can have a fight, you can have a game where, yeah, a 60-point game, somebody might say that's your masterpiece, a game winner, buzzer beater, but it really could be those games that, man, we were down the whole time, we had to grind this thing out. My stat line might have been pretty, but shit, that game was awesome. That's what it was all for. Feeling when I look up and I got the win and I'm like, you know what? Shit, that was my masterpiece.
That's what we're chasing. That's a masterpiece, but we're really chasing mastery. Mastery. Mm-hmm.
But do you ever get it? Is it just...
You may not get it sometimes because it's all about choices, right? Think about in your career in basketball, it's some things you made a choice to do. Had you not, you could have got a little bit more juice out of this category if you put it into this basketball, right? Maybe it was buying stuff. Maybe you got money. Now you jewelry. Maybe it's women. Maybe it's whatever. Mm-hmm. It's another category that we get the exposure to now once you get there. Once you get on, you got exposure to this. And you can give it as much attention as you want, or at least as much. Denzel don't give it none.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people give it all.
Yeah.
Right? So now you look back, you may have mastered it as an athlete had you put the amount of energy that Jordan did into that category, or Kel Sanders in the wrestling put into that category, or Demetrius Johnson. He didn't care about no belts. I made him buy his first designer belt.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't buy it. He was a world champion. I said, you about to break the record for the most high defenses, my dog. Buy yourself a watch, man. You gonna hear that G-Shock watch. It's cool. But you make some money. And then I made him put himself on a different plan where people came to the plate differently.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is endorsements went up. Now he's actually making 7 figures a fight when he was making less than the female champions.
Ooh, wow.
And it was the pound for pound number one guy. But it's all about perception. But the energy... He didn't put a lot of energy in there. He just put enough. But that came and benefited his professional category because it put him on a different market plane. For me, I spent a lot of time over here because I didn't like this over here because I felt like I had to prove everybody wrong on this part. My whole time, I was dedicating energy to proving it wrong instead of just being the best. If I train every day, I'm getting better every day, right?
Yeah.
It's facts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said it's 100% correct? If you do something every day, whether it's film,
yes.
If you do
something, you're getting better
mm-hmm. every day, right? Now, how many things are you 100% right? Very few. Birth control ain't 100%.
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna take this fact. I told myself I want to be the best fighter ever, better than George St. Pierre, Matt Hughes, anybody. When people think of the welterweights, I want to be the number one that you ever think of. And I really wanted that. And that was my mind. That's what I verbally said. Now, we just said, 100% of the time, if I do something every day, I will get better.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was taking breaks, you know, I need some time away from the sport, or I need to get away from it to like it, or I got injured in a fight, or whatever the situation that took me away, well, those days I didn't do anything, there's not 100% chance I was getting better. So under my own control, every single day, even if it was just reading some positive, motivational, something spiritual, something motivational, training, watching a video, shadowboxing, thinking about a match, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Every day I could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mom said, you can't undo done. I can't go back and get that time, but I can take that mind and principle now.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to be the best, I still can be the best ever. I still can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm of age where I can't miss another day. Because these people, while I was taking vacations, And while I was healing wounds, and while I was taking my precious day to get back to my bag, they started gaining ground on me. And before the training partner that I used to just completely annihilate in practice, mm-hmm. now he has a victory over me. The person I mentored and basically taught everything about everything he models me is now the champion of my weight. And he was at my party asking me how I felt to get the belt put around me. I said, oh, you'll see one day. I never knew it was going to be on my watch. I told Usman that. He was at my after party in Vegas. And I said, you'll see. You'll see when you get it. Because I knew in the spirit, I knew he was going to be the champion, but I thought it was going to be after I walked away. But I saw it. But what did I do? I didn't get better every day. My dude told me, he said, when you're not working hard, somebody else is. And what happened? And when they meet you, they're what?
Destroy you.
They'll beat you.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, Gil. When you get to that point, you become a champion. Then it's all about the buildup to that, right? Yeah. The work that you put in, the dedication, the grind. Then when you get there, you gotta stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like that's the hardest journey.
I did that.
That's the hardest journey. When you're there, staying there. I remember when I made it to the NBA and someone asked me, it's like, all right, what's your goal? I was like, my goal was to make it to the NBA. And he's like, okay, what's your goal now? You made it.
Yeah.
He's like, you made it. You made it to the NBA. Like, are you done? I mean, what's next? Yeah. And I was like, well, shit, when I was 10 years old, I didn't have, there was no what's next. It was.
The mountain seemed so tall to even get to the top.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, the NBA. So I said, well, can I think about it? He's like, yeah. So then I came back the next day and I was like, well, I mean, you know, I want to be, you know, MVP. I want to make the rookie all-star game. I want to be an all-star. I want to be all NBA. I want to be a champion. He's like, okay, now whatever you did to get here is meaningless. You got to start again in work.
Purposely.
And I'm sitting here like, you seeing like, Ferrari's coming up, like, what do you mean start, like, no fun? It was like, not if you're trying to be all those things.
Well,
and I was sitting here like, all right.
You know, the funny thing is no shame if you don't do it.
Yep.
But man, if you do.
Yeah, man, if you right? do. Yeah.
Man, if you do, though, can't nobody ever, it's like a little serum thrown into your blood, like you immortal. No. At a certain point. So, and sometimes it's the knowledge to know when it's there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's certain things that can take you out of position to get that. And at the time, if you ain't level-headed, you ain't thinking right, you won't understand that this, you seeing this one girl is taking you out of position. You know what I mean? You going to these functions over all these all-star Maxim 100, all these parties,
mm-hmm.
they cool, but they... Your opponent is at home watching film of you, and you are here watching the circus.
The circus.
But that's the best thing that can happen. You get bitten with that hunger to always, almost you're like,
no, I just came paranoid. Out of that. So don't know. I ain't gonna act like I've been there.
I mean, I understand.
Just came out of that. Like, just got the realization.
You know, like, it was easier for me to, like, ground myself.
You didn't let a lot of people carry you into BS either.
Not because I
respect that.
I was already there. You know what I mean? I came in thinking I was going to be, you know, lottery pick, you know, second round. You know, my dad quit his job. I don't have no money. So I'm on a $400 budget for the month after bills. So, you know, that's gas and barely food. Yeah. So I didn't have no time to really just, like, we going to kick it. Like, shit, I got 2 years to try to get $1 million. You know what I mean? I got 2 years to try to get $1 million contract. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting here and, you know, I was forced to dedicate.
Yeah.
You know, and then once I tasted, oh shit, working out every day, I was on a bench, now I'm this, and average this, I like this. Let me go and kid. Then I was like, I ain't even going back home.
You felt that recipe was working.
Yeah.
Why change it?
Why change it?
Every day, right? Yep. Every day you're getting better.
All right, let's take a break to talk about our good friends at Athletic Greens. Today's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens, the most comprehensive daily nutritional beverage out there. You know, when it comes to nutrition, it's all about simplicity. We don't want to think about it. We just want it all in one place. And with so many stressors in life, it's difficult to maintain effective nutritional habits and give our bodies the nutrients it needs to thrive. Busy schedules, poor sleep, exercise stress, or simply not eating enough of the right foods. This is where Athletic Greens can help. Their daily all-in-one superfood powder is your nutritional essential. It is by far the easiest and most delicious nutritional habit that you can add to your health routine today and empower you to take ownership of your health. They take the guesswork out of it. That's what you gotta love about them. It's simple. You have a container. You put in water. You put in powder, either in a packet or in a scoop. You shake it up, and you are good with everything that you need from a nutritional standpoint, which really is the benefit. If it's your workout, if it's your energy level throughout the day, if it's just the balance that you're looking for, whatever you need, get it all in one place. It's with Athletic Greens. One tasty scoop of Athletic Greens contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, including a multivitamin, multi-mineral, probiotic, green-supported blend, and more that all work together to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet, increase energy and focus, aid with digestion, and support a healthy immune system, all without the need to take multiple products. And that's really what it is. You don't have to take a bunch of different pills, different powders, scoops, or anything like that. It's all the powders in one scoop. Put it in your shake there, right for you on the go. Athletic Greens continues to obsessively improve this one holistic-based formula on the latest research, producing 53 iterations over the last decade and counting. They invest in the most absorbable and natural source of each ingredient and go above and beyond in third-party testing to ensure their customers continue to receive the highest quality and best nutritional daily habit on the planet. It's a lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar without compromising taste. And right now, Athletic Greens is doubling down on supporting your immune system during the winter months. They are offering fans of the No Chill podcast a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. If you visit our link today, you'll basically never have to buy vitamin D again. So whether you're looking for peak performance or better health, covering your bases with Athletic Greens makes investing in your energy, immunity, and gut health each day simple, tasty, and efficient. Simply visit athleticgreens.com/nochill and join health experts, athletes, and health conscious go-getters around the world who make a daily commitment to their health every day. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/nochill and get your free year supply of vitamin D, 5 free travel packs today. Get out there, get healthy, get Athletic Greens.
I was that young fighter. Nobody can outwork me. I wish you would even think about it. I healed ACL in 4 months.
Did you hear that? Four months ACL.
Before the new technology. In 2001, I tore my ACL. I was throwing an inside trip in the U.S. Open in Las Vegas. After my redshirt year, I went to go into this big tournament. I don't know why I was even there. All these Olympians, right? I tore my ACL in that tournament. Got the surgery. And every single day, 7 days a week, with no break, I never took 1 day off. In 4 months, I 100% cleared out the brace. Knock on wood, I've never, to this day, has had any problem with my knee, ever.
Jesus.
Every single, I never, when I say never, it was not 1 day I did took a break. Sunday through Saturday, I moved to the city where my college is at. I didn't go home. I didn't have no summertime. Mm-hmm. I was in that damn brace lawn cutting. I was cutting the fields at Mizzou, dotting the lines, and that's what I did. But I'm like, I know how to do it.
Is it just that when we get older, we try to enjoy what we did?
I never enjoyed it, man. I'm going to be real. I never enjoyed it. I thought I was, and I always thought when I made it there, it would feel so good. It never really felt that good.
Because that's the thing, especially basically the worst thing that can happen to a fighter is you get civilized.
Yeah.
Because you're always so hungry, you're always so desperate to survive.
I don't know if this is the civilized part, but I think it's the hunt. The hunt is so because you never know where the bar is at. You assume. I assume they're doing this around the country. Let me outdo that.
Yeah.
Right? So the hunt's so crazy. So for you to be able to keep going when your body is clearly telling you, dog, you overdoing this, dog. What are you doing? For you to keep going, you got to have something in sight. And it is what's in sight. The NBA is what's in sight. Mm-hmm. The championship, the UFC, the best welterweight of all time, that was in sight. So you have to see it in, on the treadmill. You got to see it in the sparring round when you're getting beat up by the pro boxer. And you're like, man, hold on, coach, I'm out of here. And they pour water on your head and say, no, you got to stay in there, dog. You got to take these lumps. Mm-hmm. You got to take this L today. You got to hold on to it, right? The championship keeps you in there. So when you get it, you've seen it millions of times already. Mm-hmm. I saw me winning the world title so many times before I was even a pro fighter. So when I got there, it happened and it wasn't in it. I'm like, I already saw it. And then I thought I was going to be hallelujah, Jesus, crying, every backflip, every yell and scream. And I just was like,
But the cool thing is you can control your destiny wherever. In a team sport, it's tough because you could have, you know, not the best roster. This team made, look at the Brooklyn Nets, made all
these
moves.
We got the politics, my dog. You still got to get the fights. You still got to get put in position. You still got to match up with an equal opposite that's going to build the pay-per-view. But now your name, it's not about, the best fighters aren't the biggest draws. I can tell you 10 fighters right now that you don't know. They may be the best fighters in the UFC. Jerry Cannonier, Sadiq Youssef. These are guys that I don't even know if they have a weakness.
Is when you're at the top, right, and we're looking, you're looking forward. This is what I notice. It's not the person that you think is in front of you that's your biggest challenge. It's the person that's behind you that you're not paying attention to. Because
they got me too.
Because the person
they got me. Yeah, I got me.
Because the person behind you is watching everything you're doing. So it's studying, it's learning, it's adapting before it gets to you. And when you see it for the first time, it's in real time. And he's done already studied all your moves. And I used to tell people in basketball, I said, yeah, you know, there's a reason that there's a rookie of the year every year. There's a reason that there's standouts every year. And these Lucas are coming in and they're dominating quicker because they're watching and learning. And you're chasing this older rabbit.
Yeah.
Right? You're chasing an older rabbit. By the time you even get to that level, it's over.
I mean, the psychology behind it is real simple, but it's hard to do. The real simple thing is you're never chasing anybody. You're chasing perfection and mastery. And if you stay on that, there's nobody that can beat you anyway, because if they can beat you, you would have given every single drop you got, and they were just better than you. But you can never not achieve what you're supposed to do if you stay focused on that. Like, think about, like with me, I was a little bit different, and I was blessed that just God created my mind to think a little bit different. I never wanted to get to the UFC. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be hard once I got there. I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be a champion, right? Before I even started professional MMA, I was an amateur. I said, before I start this, I want to be the UFC champion. Because it's too, I already did wrestling. Wrestling's so much harder than any other sport. MMA is a joke compared to wrestling. I'll never do that BS again. Just to straight wrestle.
Wait, what's the hard part? The difference?
When do you get a break? When is the off season ever? Mm-hmm. When is the elastic or the static strength or the grabbing the wrist and pushing, pulling, no space? You can't ever relax. It's 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. But you're grabbing, gripping, snapping, pushing, pulling, grabbing, last seconds, 2 seconds, this rule, that rule. You can't lock your hands on this position. You got so many things. We call it 3D wrestling. We call it chain wrestling. Because I may go for a shot, but I got 5 things in my mind. If he defends this way, I go that way. If he defends that way, I go that way. If he defends that way, I'm going to fake that way, but I go back to this way. Because him defending, or I was going to really put him in position for this. Mm-hmm. And right when he get down, I'm right to breaking him down, turning him, putting him on his back, going for this. And if he gets up from that position, then I'm going to do that.
Chessing it all the way through.
The whole way through, the whole match. And that's why MMA fighters make, I mean, that's why wrestlers make great MMA fighters. We take that mentality into the striking, into the boxing, into the grappling. And then we all know that the world that we lived in, which is the wrestling world, the cauliflower-eared, insane guys on campus that nobody really just just gave them their own little category, their own little fraternity, right? Mm-hmm. Am I right? We know that if we can pull you into that world, many of y'all won't make it.
Yeah.
You get the boxing guy or the jujitsu guy
bring him,
in there.
Bring him into that world, he may not make it. Look at our ears. Mine out there. This dude willing to let his ear look like a freaking discombobulated and just disfigured for a takedown? No, seriously. That's what it's from.
Hey, no, I remember I was talking shit to someone, right? And then
I already know you talk shit.
Then I was like, no, we're going to meet outside. And dude was like, yo, you see his ear? I was like, what do you mean his ear? It's like, no, he fights for a living. You good, my man? In my bag.
I'll go buy some new Dolce &
Gabbana. Give him two bottles. This your girl? Yeah, you can have that girl. Bitch, get over there.
Got you.
I don't want none of those problems, man.
Because I think it's just a willingness. Like the most quiet people are the one that's willing to do the most.
Yeah.
That's what you got to worry about. Like the quiet person, like the quiet person that's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the one
that's a psychopath.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Well, even just
I've been waiting to be able to do this to somebody. Yeah. Finally, somebody got me to that level where it's okay, where I'm warranted to do it.
Just that limit or having no limit to where I'm fearless. I'm not going to tap out no matter what you do to me. I will not submit. That's a crazy headspace to get to.
Yeah. Okay, so
we got to circle back too because we was talking about we was talking about being at the beginning and the person behind you being more important and more dangerous than the person chasing. Really, it's never the chase. It's never the chase of the bunny in front or the young thirsty hound behind you. It's really the mastery portion of it because if you are chasing a bunny. One thing that I did that I'm very thankful to God that he made me think this way, I quit people chasing. I started throwing hunting.
Mm-hmm.
George St. Pierre may be the champion now, but when I get to the point where I'm stepping in front and I'm the person testing for it, it may not be him.
Yeah.
So I quit people chasing. I started hunting the throne.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was you, then it's you. If it's you, then it's you. It don't matter who was it. I had to be my own teammate for the belt. Dude, I like. My kids had him on a poster, their favorite fighter. I'm like, hold on, I'm your dad.
Robbie
Lawler, American Top Team. I'm American Top Team. We had to fight each other for the world title. And I had to do it to
him. Chasing the throne.
You chase the throne, not the person. And then when you always know that I always knew the young fighter behind me, right? I always knew him. Mm-hmm. I watched him at all. Dude, I just lost to Vicente. Yeah. I've been watching you since the Ultimate Fighter show. The Black Zillions versus American Top 10. They had you fight a lot. You durable. But Usman got all the credit because he fought the last couple fights. But you fought the most on the show. You had the most wins. I've been watching you. Right? But then you started thinking that you can take those days off. And where you were at, they're going to just do this with you.
Yep,
no.
Yep.
They don't do this with you. You do this and stay, and they keep going. And now when you go back up, damn, they side by side with you. This dude couldn't buy a millisecond in a round against me. And I lose to Colby Covington. I should pay him $500 a week to beat him up. I had to ease up on him because he couldn't even make it through training camp. And he got me on his resume. Why? What did I do?
Let up.
Up until now.
And he was thinking about those $500 ass whoopers he was getting.
Yes.
But you also got to want it. And I'm thinking about times when, like, KD went to Dykeman or Kobe played at the Drew. Like, I can play in the NBA. I want to get to where this other world is. It's sort of underground, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because I just want to measure myself against all competition. Yeah, know but that I mean, I've mastered.
You know, in basketball, you have, you know, the NBA is the professional. You know, and then there's like this, there's this street, the street legends
also,
and they didn't have the resources or the circumstances that got them the chance to make it to the NBA. But when it came to talent for talent, they're still saying, hey, you got to walk through me also.
Yeah
you NBA, you all that NBA boo-boo.
Jared Rucker?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
How much you go for at the Rucker?
55, 60, 65.
From being intentional.
Huh? Huh?
You was intentional. You told yourself you got 2 years to make a meal.
Yeah.
And you knew that it wasn't like you had to find the money. You had to put your body in position to make it.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's, I didn't, you're right. I didn't have the fun. The fun was when I got on that court and I got to let people know what I was doing. That's even, like even when I went to the Rutgers, I prepared for the Rutgers.
Yeah.
It was no NBA style.
You know about the fouls. You had to be a little tougher.
Yeah, it was just looking at it like,
I'm not going car traveling as much. You get there.
I got to think about the and one style of it, you know, try not to get baited. So, you know, because there is chess, because, you know, now I'm in your world. Now I'm in your world.
And it's still mental, though. Because if they start getting off on you, making fun, now you got to,
And I remember this is what happened. It started raining.
Well, that's even bad.
And then it was like, oh, we're going to take this game, because it was the EBC, World Tour. So there's like, oh, we got to take this game to the gym.
Gaucho.
Yep, got to take it to Gaucho Gym. And I was like, what's Gaucho Gym? It was like, oh, it's inside arena. Inside? Like real inside gym? I was like, oh, they done. I'm back in my element now. Mm-hmm. I ain't just concrete. One rim is 11 feet. One rim is 9 feet.
Yeah.
I said, now my shooting ability is here. Before shooting at 11, then versus 9,
the wind.
It's a difference.
Trouble time. Trouble. And then that's where it happened. You know, but I knew not to play in their world. I knew not to go for the oohs and the ahs. That wasn't my style. I was a bucket getter. I'm just getting buckets. I'm not going to sit here and try to, you know, I'm not going to sit here. You know, you got 4 points and you done bounced it off my head 3 times, did all this, do it in the crowd. And I'm like, yo, this man got 4 points. You know what? I know how to beat that. Yeah. 80. That's what I'm going to do. that's what I'm going to do. You know, it's like, because if I went down now trying to do the moves that I've never practiced, he beats me in this world.
That's true. You ever just dunked on him and you just feel like, just groin was over his shoulder. You just dunked all on him.
You know what's so funny about me? Like I was like I'm looking at my stuff from high school, and
hold up. What did they call you in high school? Not your nickname.
White boy player.
Yeah, they called him a white boy player.
Cause I'm from the valley. Okay. So there was nobody from the valley. You know, we're all white boy Jews. You know, there was no basketball players in the valley. So I was called the white boy player. So, you know, it was like, he does that because, you know, he's playing against a bunch of white boys.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we went to LA schools, like dunking, like that's what we all wanted to do. But for some reason, just trying to score 50 every single time.
That's a lot
time,
of damn.
Just made, it just like.
It sound like, okay, it's half of 100.
It just, that doesn't work. It just made me like dunking, like I got off by dunking, but no, I just wanted bucket, like just getting bucket after bucket after, because I know
that's your brand. Like, you got something revolving around that?
Buckets?
Yeah.
See how he thinks.
Because in St. Louis, we talk about that. I'm getting buckets.
Because I get buckets.
I'm getting paid. I'm getting money. I'm dropping buckets. Well, I'm pulling girls.
Yeah, I'm gonna take note of that.
Yeah, that was my thing.
You
like
use that.
Like you know, like some people, like as soon as they start dunking, I was like.
I got a lot of that written in music.
Yeah, for real?
Yeah, buckets.
Yeah, I just wanted like you to go home and
buckets.
You to go home and you look at the stat sheet, you won by 30. Yeah, but your opponent got 55. You don't feel too good about that.
Yeah, it's like it's like getting hit with a body shot.
Yeah, it's like
you get hit with a body shot, you get knocked out from that, and it's like, damn, so embarrassing.
Everybody be like, yeah, they this team won 7 games. But yeah, I dropped 50 on all 7 opponents. They don't really.
Yeah. They forget about the highlights.
They don't really care about that win. They don't feel good going home.
It makes
tonight.
You feel like the cheat code.
Yeah, and that's
and they couldn't stop you.
And that's how I felt in high school.
Just leave him alone. He's cheat code. We can't stop him. We're gonna
focus on everybody else.
Keep him to this 50-point mark. Not 51. Okay, everybody has talks about that. Not he can get 50, but if he get 51, everybody's doing suicides. Yeah, and keep nobody else score though.
But meanwhile, that creates that buzz about you every game that you play, and every time you walk in the gym, that's the guy that can go
for. Yeah, that's the guy who just
boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, you know, like I did Crenshaw. Nobody ever talks about, yo, Crenshaw blew them out.
Yeah.
You know, Crenshaw beat them by 30. No, that's like, yo, they couldn't stop one person.
Whoa.
Like the team wasn't good. We just needed one person to stop. We sent 5 people at him. Every possession, and we couldn't stop them. And I told people,
I'm just imagining that's me right now.
And And I told people this. I said, I learned how to be a killer because I was always throwing five people. Yeah. And I had, for me to get this team to a win or a possible win, I have to defeat all five. Wow. Now, am I going to learn how to be a killer then or a killer when I got four of the players who can fight with me? Like, I don't need to throw as much. Yeah, you go handle that. Mm. So I said, you know, like, I'd rather you take a guy and you throw him and he has no help. He has to survive.
Yeah.
Survive. Like, you got to survive.
That's who you want to be in the alley with.
Yeah, you're sitting there and you pass the ball and he misses the layup and you sitting there, got to get back on defense, try the shit again. Like, you really have to play the whole game going 1,000.
Yeah.
So when you take that individual who's done learn how to carry by himself and you put him on with someone, they'll be like, yo, this dude I want with me. Because he has no room for failure because he knows what failure looks like.
So we got to teach these kids how to drain buckets in life.
Yeah.
See? How to everything you can do, you really trying to drain buckets. You may not meant to be a basketball player.
Yep.
Maybe a counselor.
I think we just walked into something today.
I think we did.
we do this segment, Ask Agent Zero. So you kicked that off. Yeah. So let's keep going on that. And
well, what we want to get is... Ask Agent Zero?
Huh?
I get to ask him questions?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When are we starting this draining bucket situation?
Whenever.
This is our whole way of life. Like, you know, think about if you wake up every day and what you doing? I'm draining buckets today. Are you really doing the nonsense today? You really not. It's a whole mindset. When waking up on the mirror, draining buckets. A female can pick it up. Mm-hmm. They can drain buckets. Little kid can pick it up. Old woman can pick it up. Old-ass man can pick it up.
Yeah, we got it.
We all draining buckets. If you a real team player, it don't matter who put the points up for real. Mm-hmm. If the points on the board and we score, we all win.
Yep.
Guess what? If you draining buckets, my dog, I'm passing you the rock.
Yep.
For sure. Hey,
what else you got?
I asked some of my questions. Yeah. I had the Rucker Park questions. Because that's like two different credibilities. You got the NBA credibility, but when you show up at Rutgers,
you
got the hood behind you.
You have to.
You want the hood behind you.
You have to. It's one of. I had to do the same thing when I was in D.C. We had a Berry Farm, so it's the DMV's version of Rutgers, and you know that's where KD's coming from.
Yeah.
That's where Michael Beasley's coming from. That's where all those guys are coming from. And if you don't jump, like you know, I was the first actual NBA player that played in that farm.
Wow.
Everybody else was scared. So they was like, we don't want to go to
the farm. You can't get done dirty.
Yeah, we don't want to go to the farm. We'll play y'all on our territory. So when I heard about the farm, and I was, you know, so some of those guys that come and play in the gym when we opened the gym up,
yeah.
And I'm like, yo, these on these is nice.
Yeah.
Where y'all playing at? And then he'd be like, yo, we got this league at the farms. All right, put me on the team then.
Yeah.
I show up, and I'm like, yo, this the hood.
Yeah.
They ain't got doors on the, you know, they got curtains as the doors. And then the announcer, you know, Cobb Miles, you know, he's on the mic talking, everybody front row smoking blunts and stuff. And I'm like, yo, I never played in this atmosphere before.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And then someone says something. Someone says something that just triggered. And it was like, oh, he looks scary as hell, man. This ain't the what's the name center? This is the farms. They're about to do you in over here.
You got a whole little mission, man.
And I'm like, who?
Cause you've been proving this for a long time.
You have
to prove it.
I train so much too.
A lot of kids are thinking they gotta prove it too. They need
you to talk to them. They have to. The only way you get to that ship.
And it's scary. Scary. It's not scary?
Yeah.
It's scary because if you fail, oh, see, told you he was scared. Mm-hmm. Oh, he played this X amount of way or he... Yeah, but it's like... I was telling somebody yesterday that when I was in high school, we made it lit to have good grades.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what you get? Dog, you gonna be working for me.
Yeah.
Like, you dumb. Like we made it bad. Like, dude, you big dumb, dog. You couldn't even get that right? Man, that's easy. All you have to do is this. So we made it lit to be smart.
Yeah, and that.
And nobody can ever make fun of us again, but we made that. We created what's so funny the culture. Is
now, like I was even telling my daughter, I said, you don't want to be the cool kid.
No.
I said, you know what the cool kids do? They come to your games. I said, Sierra Canyon, boys basketball. Wow. Where are the cool kids at? They're in the stands.
Wow, wow.
They're in the stand. They're watching. Wow. You don't want to be a watcher. You guys going to be at McDonald's watching cars go by. You want to be a
that's
cool
true.
Kid.
That's a bar.
I said, yo, you better work. Get your fucking grind on so the cool kids is coming to watch you play.
That's smart. I said, well, you put the energy there too, right? Put the energy into that. Because you're going to be cool anyway because everybody know you.
Yeah, because everybody know you.
Think about this. People know you for being clutch. They mm-hmm. know you for turning up when somebody needs you. They know you when it's the last quarter, the last seconds of the period, who we want the ball to be shot to. Boom. Mm-hmm. And they know you then. And so you walk. Like, I just imagine, like, if I was a shooter and everybody knew me, I'm walking in the door like, hey. It's everything and nothing. I'm never bothered. I'm walking through the door like, because I'm that guy.
Yeah, that's how, that, see how he's wired though?
Nah,
that's
nah,
what it takes.
Nah, the boxing walk is way better than.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
walking into the air, nah, because you by your, like you don't, that intro.
I
don't,
all eyes on you.
That intro, everyone looking at you. That
nah,
is.
I don't mean the court. I mean like the.
Nah.
You mean anywhere.
I mean the room, the table. Everybody that want to get in the room or the table or the club, I'm walking in like, nah, I'm him. Yep.
Yeah, but that fight and walk is a different because that fight and walk comes with. I can whoop all y'all asses.
And somebody look. You can look at somebody. And he'd be like, I'm willing to die in this.
Yeah, like you walk into any club.
I've been in a couple fights like that.
Yeah,
like,
but think
I'm
about
like,
that, Gil. Yeah,
they're about to kill me. I'll die.
Yeah, and, but that's what I'm saying. You walk in, but when a fighter walks into the club, he is the dude. Yeah. Like you know, you start seeing him drinking, he start getting aggravated. You're like, oh man, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Like you don't care about those games.
I try to just be peaceful.
You don't care about no bangers that's in the club.
So people think that about you, but that's not really how guys are wired. When they're out of that octagon, of that ring.
No.
Tap out affliction.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'll say this.
One of them two t-shirts is gonna give it away.
You have a flip that switch that you can flip.
You don't want it to happen on you. And that's that's what I said. Like, if I see a fighter come in the club, I'll be watching how they, he got his shirt off, I'm out. He got his shirt off, I'm out. You know?
To be honest, I'm not even going to be around. I'm out too.
Even though I know for the most part, because the hands are registered, they don't really get in outside fights.
I don't think that's true, though.
What?
I don't think that's true. That's a big urban legend. That's a big myth.
Wait, hold on.
So people think that you're a fighter, your hands are licensed weapons. No. If you swing at me, I'm swinging back. I'm not going to I can get sued.
Man.
If you swing at me, I'm going to laugh. And I'm going to do some embarrassing stuff to you.
It worked for you.
No, it worked for me because I don't know how to fight, so I didn't even have to worry about none of that.
Tell me if anybody.
But the hands is registered
the whole
time.
Everybody thinks that, but I've never seen anybody get held in a court of law for a registered pair of hands. I've never seen a court case about it. I think it's fiction. If somebody swing at me, they're getting done.
Whew.
So don't go in there with that thinking, because no fighter thinks that. No fighter think, okay, let me not get into this fight because I'm
a licensed
weapon.
I don't know if that's a good thing then.
But that's why I thought, like, you never seen, you know, boxers or MMA fighters actually get in street fights because like,
we just don't say that. We don't want to correct it because at the end of the day, it kind of keeps us out of trouble.
Gives you that mystique.
It gives us that little mystique.
The mystique
that,
is you whoop
let
ass
us let them think that.
Like you whoop ass for a living.
I don't really want to have to do it for free.
Yeah, that's what I said. You whoop ass for a living. So, but that's all. I know there's always that street dude that think he can.
You wouldn't want to just have a shootout with a dude at the bar. You just came to relax that one day, and now he want to say, "Oh, I bet you I can beat you two free throws." And like, you got all of a sudden a nice outfit for shooting. You can't lose because you can't let him do it.
Yeah.
That's how we feel in the club. I don't want to have to beat you up. But I will.
Man, didn't even know that. Oh, man, I didn't even know that's that.
It sounds funny, but it's the same thing.
I thought your hands was registered this whole time.
Oh, it's never registered.
Just whoop ass at will.
Only thing that's registered is my place in my car. And I run that through your house, too. So at the end of the day, don't use that. Fans, don't use that on me. Hey. Don't think you're going to swing on me. And because of some registry of the hands that it's going to protect you, you're going to get beat up. So.
That might be the most important thing we figured out here today.
Yes.
Yes.
Now I'm going on Instagram like, okay, don't.
I'm going to watch a YouTube video at Rucker Park. I know you're schooling them. That's too many.
They have like, they do have some film, but it wasn't.
All in the, I just need to see the highlights.
Yeah, it wasn't really.
Because the dunking, when I see somebody get dunked on so bad, it's like, to me, it's like, can't never recover from that.
No, you know, as a basketball player, it's just like taking a jab. You know, you get dunked on or you get crossed over. That's like kind of part of it. You know what I mean? You would rather be, you as a big man, you already know you're going to get dunked on by other big man.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing if a guard actually catches you. If a guard catches you, like if you caught somebody, that's a big, that's a
head
big
down
thing.
Looking crazy. Oh, and I accelerate and I'm like, in the air and they're like, oh, and I dunk on them.
Yeah, now that's a big one. But if it was other around, he dunked on you and you be standing like, man, you're supposed to dunk on me.
I think in track, like Usain Bolt, when he's like, okay, that's embarrassing. Like, mm-hmm. he just did y'all like that. Or I think like you know, football player, somebody getting ran over. Boom, ran over, and they just knock down, and the dude just keep going. That's what I would feel like. Knock off. You knock somebody out, and you just walk off, and you don't even say nothing. They just drop, and you just walk.
It depends on how you get dunked. Like, if you got dunked on, and, like, you fell, and you know that dunk where you hit him, and
you trying your best to stop it, and he, like, and looking you in the eye. dunk on you, and you talking trash.
And you catch the body, you fall all over the ground.
And then
like,
it's a foul on you on top of that.
Yeah, that one's the one all that hurts. Well. Don't let it be a timeout after that. Ooh. They call it TV timeout. Boom, timeout.
Didn't even make you think about it.
Man, I can't even get the get back right now.
The repeat.
Can't even get the repeat.
Because what you don't want to happen, like, you, same thing, you get knocked down, and the whole arena is focused on you now.
I had a couple moments that I
can't, because that can shift your mindset.
But I can't get it. I had a stanky leg moment. You
know what I mean? Oh, yeah. But that happened.
I want to blame it on the canvas, too. Because I was committed. I was locked in. I threw this combination. Blink, blink, blink. Book. Bop. Oh, he came through at the same time with a punch that who would have thought it was my punch. Mm-hmm. I was going to throw my punch, which was an overhand right. But I heard somebody go, watch over my overhand right. Mm-hmm. So now my mind, all right, let me throw this uppercut instead. So I go here instead of coming here, which would have took me offline. This hand probably would have been up because I've been practicing keeping the hand up, and his punch would have went this way. But I said here, and I can't. The second I came here, he threw the overhand right at the same time, so my leg slid a little bit on the canvas. But
I got in two fights, and they were both by girls, and I got beat up.
That's another story for another time.
No, that's real fact.
You know, a lot of people have never had a fight in their life.
I wasn't trying to.
Imagine how hard that is for me to fathom. Like, you ain't never been in a fight ever.
Two girls. Second grade.
So does that even count?
I liked her. Yeah. And then sixth grade, I liked, she was in the eighth grade and I liked her. I was calling her names.
Yeah.
And then, you know how you do.
Yeah.
And then at the lunch table, she ran over, said she was sick of this shit.
It's pushed 25 me off, seconds.
Pushed me off the table, hit the thing hard, got up, yeah, all right, yeah. And boop, boop, boop. She got me.
She probably likes you.
Then they broke it up.
Huh?
Then they broke it up.
No. They didn't break it up. I walked away. I walked away. I was done. Like, she was
embarrassed for you.
Took that shot.
I was. She was big. Like, I couldn't. What else?
I'm going to drink some.
Come on. Eighth grade girl and a sixth grade boy. Like, you got to remember, they mature way faster.
So I'm going to give you that.
So, you know, I took the
it's L. A lowercase
like, I was
L.
trying to fight. Like,
it's a lowercase L.
I was trying lowercase to, L. I was really trying to fight. That was the bad part.
It's a lowercase
like,
L.
I wish I could see it today. get that moment.
But at
get
the end
my
of
win,
that,
get my win back, bro. I had to change schools because of it.
At the end of the day, you get a lowercase L because one, you really didn't want to fight the girl.
No, I did.
Okay.
No, at that time. No, I liked her, so I didn't want to fight her until I took.
You caught feelings, but then it went.
No, I took that hit, and then.
Back in the day, it was a little bit more even on the playground.
Yeah.
People were fighting those opposite sex.
Yeah, and then from there.
The older you get, the way less cooler.
And then from that, I realized.
Very acceptable very, at very all. Yeah. And then never accepted.
And then I realized, hey, you lose your two girls and your two fights that you ever had. And from there, you just start negotiating.
Do you ever think about, what happened if, today you go outside and tomorrow just standing next to you, hey, man, da-da-da, and now it's a fight.
No. See, that's the difference between me and you. You were trained, and you've been fighting your whole life.
What do you think about it? If that moment happened, are you ready?
Like, if I walked outside and you'd be like, yo, you've been talking shit, you want to fight? And I'd be like,
yeah.
You won. Don't even need to get, you take, I'm going to take the L, you take the win, we're going to walk on. I'm a bitch ass, whatever you want. I'll credit you.
But if they start to swing.
I'm running.
So you're not ever going to.
No, I'm not going to sit there and try to take punches just to be cool. Like, I'm supposed to take these?
I think at this point in life, I would talk my way out of it.
Let me put it this way.
You want me to sit here and take these hits?
This is what's happening. You walk outside and nothing is said, and somebody just starts swinging on you.
Oh, no, you start doing the dodge.
Yeah.
What's going on, man? What's the problem?
That are connecting.
I mean, I'm going to try to swing back, of course.
All right, swing back.
I'm going to swing back.
What you say is you got that fight or flight mode. So if somebody hits you in the mouth.
I mean, I've went, listen.
Probably will get something out of you.
So
if you get hit in the mouth, what's your number one thing?
I've trained.
Got it, that's all.
I've trained in boxing. But it's never...
So your muscle memory is going... Something's going to happen.
Yeah, but I've never actually gotten into...
Something's
going to
happen that's going to maybe help you neutralize it.
Yeah, I've never gotten an actual...
If you hit me, I probably deserved it. I'm going to walk away.
So that's what I've never...
You're fighting.
Wait, no difference. I've never gotten a fight without gloves. So what I used to...
It makes a difference in me.
So in school, it'd be like, yo, you want to fight? All right, put the gloves on, $5 winner. We used to do that.
So if someone starts swinging on you, it's some punches that don't make sense that's going to come from
you. Yeah. No, that's just me and my friends, if we had arguments and shit on the basketball court and we talking that, look, put the gloves on.
I was talking to this guy.
So we never really.
My dogs, that's an industry, a lot of people just don't know how to defend themselves at all. There's really a market out there for that. I mean, we're dead ass. It's a severe market. It's a lot of body. Can I be real? It's a lot of bodyguards that's just big and dark complected. And they're not even really equipped with no knowledge to defend you.
I never wanted a bodyguard. Yeah. Never. I just felt that he enticed fights. He just made people want to test them out. And I didn't want that, because if they whoop his ass, then what happens
with
me?
You never had security or
private
security?
No.
Sometimes you got to, though.
No. Non-lethal. Non-lethal, bro.
Depends who's coming around.
Hey, this dude is super non-lethal.
If the guy is non-lethal, then I don't, it's respect. If I have respect for what you do, you drug dealing, hey, here's a bottle, get the contraception. Here I am, I'm out.
They got your table.
Yeah, there ain't nothing to talk about here. I'm just
moving.
They
ain't got to shoot you in the chest and wake
you. Jury, here you go. I got insurance. I'll give up the insurance. Hey, I ain't got snow problems here. You got snow problems for me, baby.
I don't resist like that.
I play hoop shoes, size. You wear size 8, but it's fine, man.
Yeah, I'll give it up.
I don't.
You live to fight another day.
But as I said, I never, even in D.C., people are like, yo, how was D.C.? I said, man, that was the best. I can't say one person ever, looked at me like they wanted to fight me. I'm in the club and I part. No, not one person ever was like, yo, we're going to have to get him. Because I didn't come off like that. I didn't come off like, yo, I'm better than you or nothing. I come in the club, big ass party. I sit at the bar. I'll give my table up. I'm one person. Y'all look like y'all got seven people. You know what I mean?
It's hard though.
Go ahead, do your thing. You know what I mean? I didn't have the, I'm from the valley. I'm from the valley. I ain't got the ego. You know what I mean? It's like, I, the last thing I want to do is you trying to kick it and, you know, my name is big and I'm sitting here like, move out of the way, man. You know, like, nah, that's how you get your head wrong. And I wasn't...
That's smart.
I didn't practice to be... I didn't practice to, like, try to fight back with somebody that's trying to actually kill me.
I think that's what it is.
I've seen too many people just...
So we can get out on this, and I think that's what it is the older you get, the more experience you have, you learn how to...
No. I did this in my 20s, bro.
Yeah, I know that. So you picked up on it.
Let's do that disclaimer. It's not needed.
What you asked at this point, there's a certain stage in the game that you get to that you realize you put your priorities in order.
Yeah, I mean, for me...
But that he said it. He said, it's just art. Mm-hmm. Oh. It's art.
When it's a profession, it's art.
It's art.
Yeah, and I'll majestically make my way out of a bad situation. I won't entertain that. I won't be trying. I don't want to be there, you know what I mean, with the police. And I want to be there literally, you know, why are you trying to sue me again? Yeah. I was chilling. You can't mess with me. Now I got to pay you money because I defended myself? That don't sound fun. So.
that's some people's hustles. Oh, he comes to the party. I'm going to try to irritate him so he can punch me. I'm going to take this punch for $500,000.
It's a whole bag out there created. And that's a whole bag. Get your ass whooped to sue.
Yeah.
Dang.
That's a thing though. I can go in there, irritate him, and then he going to punch me and I can make a little money. Mm-hmm. That's my hustle today.
Like, well, lesson for the day, adults and kids. That is not the career path you want to choose. Step up to me in the club, but you're not going to win the lawsuit. Well, you will get the lights put out.
That works for me.
That works for me.
Good on that one. Hey,
I got you. I heard you.
On that note, all right. Check that off.
Come on, my man. Pleasure.
Tyron, thanks for coming on.
Blast, brother. In a blast.
The champ, the people's champ.
Boom, boom.
For Tyron Woodley. For Gilbert Arenas, I'm Mike Botticello. This has been No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. Remember, you can catch us every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Fubo Sports Network, and we'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.